Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Defining the Dash. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are back today with our special guest, Brother Randy Webb, and he has been sharing his testimony with us there last week and giving us what the Lord had laid on his heart. And so he is back with us this week to continue that. Brother Randy, thank you so much for your time and being back in the studio with us tonight.
Yes, sir. My pleasure, Brother Chad. I hope we can say something, be a blessing to somebody.
And we will go ahead and we'll jump right back into it. But Brother Webb, you know, we talked a little bit last week about when you came to pastor there at Keene Mountain and the ministry that you've had there and the church and the school and the traveling you've done and a lot of those things. But you've worked with young folks a whole lot in the school and there at the church. What would you have to say to someone out there that may be struggling tonight and trying to find their way back to church and they're just, you know, the devil will tell them a lot of times, you know, they don't want you back or you can't live it, or he tries to really blind them and distract them. But what would you have to say to that individual?
Well, good question, brother, because as long as I've been in this, you know, there's, and I hate to even say it like this, but, you know, with the warfare and the enemy, there are those who, you know, were with us or in,
yes,
that
sir.
Are back. And if we don't have a way back,
yeah,
well, we're losing ground.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, you can read the Bible in Christ, in the scriptures. And if someone is away tonight, would happen to listen to this or something, and the first thing, the devil lies in two ways. First, he lies and tells you when you're in that there's not anything to it and nothing wrong with this or that. He lied that to you. And then when you get out, he lies to you again.
Yes.
You can't get back.
Yes.
They don't love you. And I think people read into stuff, you know, and the devil, I hate to give him airtime.
Right, know, yeah.
But he will tell you, you can't come home again.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest lie that there ever was.
Yeah.
It's just like the story of the prodigal.
Yes.
I mean, Dad never left the garden gate. He's looking down the road the whole time.
Yes, sir.
And, I just want to encourage somebody that maybe got disillusioned and forgot. You may have forgot how precious it was because, you know, you could be hardened, darkened. And, boy, you just need to he's the God of second chances.
Yes, he is.
And the God of restitution. And he can do it. He can bring you back.
Yes.
Yes, he can.
And, you know, I know traveling and preaching for all these years as you have, Brother Webb, and you've made a lot of friends and everything, but who would you say were the biggest biggest influences in your life? I know it would be hard to really narrow a lot of them down. I know one, I'm sure, was your mother,
yeah,
you know.
That was the start of my training, Christian training, you know. And, of course, you know, we're in debt to everybody. None of us make it to heaven on our own.
That's exactly right.
And,
yes, sir.
Somebody prayed for us.
Yes, they did.
And so Mama was a prayer and, you know, slight worrier, but mostly prayer. And then when, you know, she kept working on my dad to let us boys go to church because I think she knew we needed it bad, you
yes.
know. So when I was about 14, I guess, we started attending somewhat at the Richlands Tabernacle Church. And I would have to say that there were two men that taught the boys, teenage boy class, Brother Don Smith, Brother Glenn Messick. And I didn't go to church. I just went in that class once in a while. And they got a burden for me. And boy, it just chokes me up to think about it. I remember after I got saved and hope it don't take too long here.
No, you take all the time.
But after I got saved, Brother Smith invited me to go visitation with him, you know, on Monday nights, I think. And we got frustrated, I did. And I said, you know, nobody's listening to us, Brother Smith. I said, I don't know if we're doing any good. I just kept on. I was discouraged. And he said, well, let me just tell you. He said, there was a boy I got a burden for one time, and I prayed for him every day at the same time. And I said, and he said, it looked like for years. He said, I prayed for him for 5 years.
Wow.
I said, oh, my. I said, whatever happened to him? He said, well, I'm talking to him.
Wow.
I said, really? He said, that was you. And boy, I tell you, I said, let's go visit.
Yeah.
Let's go visit somebody else.
Knock on one more door.
It just touched me to know that. You know, and that influence of them Sunday school teachers. That's why I'm an advocate of Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
And you young men and women in there teaching them kids, they get endeared to you.
Yeah.
And you can win them when the pastor can't or don't. And then, of course, I was, you know, when I got saved, Brother Ralph Horton was the lead preacher there at Richlands, and this on and on. I've met so many great men, Brother Savage, and, you know, and then, you know, just on and on, just different ones that preached the camp meeting at Richlands, and people I've met, and hundreds of them, and people, Brother Chad, that I preached to and don't remember them because I was up preaching in the crowd, and I'll meet somebody years later and say, and they'd say, we pray for you every day, and I don't even know them. And, whew, man, I tell you, talk about being carried to heaven on people's back. That's me. Yes. Every inch of the way.
I remember the story. I was thinking a while ago about people that pray for you that you never even know. And I've had people that have come up to me before that have been, I hadn't talked to in probably years. Mm-hmm. And they would come up and say, hey, have you been going through something? And I'm like, things have been...
That happens all the time.
Things have been going okay, I guess. And they're like, well, somebody gave out in prayer requested our church the other night to pray for Chad Clifton. And I would be like, well, I don't know when it would have been. Or I don't know why they felt like it, but pray for me every day. Oh, you know,
absolutely.
I can always use the prayers.
That's the way we make it.
And thinking of that, I thought about the story you told one time in one of your sermons that about the people that came to the meeting and had heard your name on the radio and God had woke them up.
Woke me up in the middle of the night to pray for me. They never heard of me.
Yeah, and God has a way just of getting a hold of people.
When he
sees you going through a trial, and he can get a hold of people, even if they don't know you.
He cares.
Yes, he does. And, well, we've had you giving some advice tonight, but what advice would you give a young person or an older person, anybody, that is seeking God's will for their life? And that's important, is to seek His will. But maybe they don't have a parental support. You know, there are times that we do come in contact with children that, you know, are brought to church by somebody that their parents may not come to church. And they may not. Maybe they're going to school with friends that are of the wrong crowd, and they don't have a good support system with friends. But what advice can we give them, Brother Webb, to encourage them to hang in there and to keep seeking after it, even if it seems like they're seeking alone? What would we tell them tonight?
Yeah, that's a sad reality, Brother Chad. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is true. But you know, God has made a way, and I think if someone is, you know, has a desire, a hunger for God,
yes,
you know, God's not hard to find,
right?
You know, He's looking for us. Matter of fact,
He's not far away.
And you know, if a young person just, you know, is in a place where they could get counsel, or you know, there's power in just a cry, just a humble, tear-stained cry in their bedroom at night with maybe everybody around them's high or drunk or what.
Yeah.
But if at least a little child would call out to God, God will rescue them if He has to send an angel.
I believe it.
And I believe that with all my heart.
Yes, sir.
And as far as will for their life, you know, if they could get them a little dollar store Bible, that's God's will for our lives.
Yeah.
And then personally, you know, I believe the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Commit thy ways unto him and he will direct thy path.
Yes.
And so, you know, we get to that crossroad in life and we say, okay, God, which way? And I know that seems a little charismatic and a little, a little real spiritual there. But now God has promised, and the spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And if you can take and follow him and follow the spirit and your conscience that God put in there, hey, look, there's a way. You could take a little life like that, and I'll hush, but
no,
you could take a life like that that just gets a hold of God somewhere in the back alley somewhere, and then end up being the greatest revivalist that anybody's ever heard of.
Yes.
Because God will take the impossible and make it possible.
Yes, he will. Amen. And that's... you know, we never know, like you was talking about a while ago with our Sunday school classes or the little kids choir, we never know the potential really of what God's going to do with those little kids up there. I mean, we really never know.
That's so true.
And
true.
The young people that's out there today, we really have no... I'm sure, Brother Webb, when you was young, younger, I'm not saying you're old now. I'm not. Let me correct that before I'll get my toes stomped on Sunday. You know, I'm sure when you was a young man, you probably never thought to yourself, I'm going to grow up and be pastor of a church.
No, never.
And, you know.
Never dawned on me. Never crossed my mind.
There are so many of these kids that sit back and they think, you know, I'm a nobody. Maybe I can't sing or I can't preach or I can't. But you really never know what you can do.
That's right.
Until God's behind you, you know.
That's right.
If God hadn't had such strong power on David's life,
that's right.
You know, David wouldn't be the story that we hear about. Exactly, you know, and
yes.
But one of the best tools, and again, we're not trying to give the devil airtime tonight. We're trying to uplift the Lord and uplift any of the listeners out there. But one of the best tools the devil does like to use today is bitterness. Mm-hmm. And bitterness is so much just like a cancer, and it just eats away at the very soul of a man, and it grows and it festers, and it's something that we've got to get rid of almost immediately. But
yes,
if somebody, and again, out there, if you've with this question, it's talking about somebody, maybe it's been wounded or feels like a failure. Maybe you've got saved and you've made a mistake since then or anything. Or maybe somebody has meant well and they've hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't give up. I mean, some of these questions here are intended to help you and lift you up. But Brother Webb, what would be advice that we could really give to them to help them to get back to where they need to be with God? Because sometimes folks do have good intentions and they'll wound people accidentally,
absolutely.
And never intended, you know. There's a whole lot of times I say stuff wrong. And there's a whole lot of times I say stuff when I should just keep my mouth shut. Yeah. But, you know, people sometimes will think they're doing something good to help somebody, and really it hurts them. And what would we say to somebody maybe that's been wounded, or they feel like they've made a mistake, and they feel like there's just no way to get back to where they were or where they need to be with God? And you know, that's a rough place to be in. And
it sure is. You know, you mentioned bitterness, which is a product of hurt and wounds and disappointments.
Yes.
But and it is, bitterness is terrible. But I will say this from my own life's experiences, bitterness is really a choice that we make.
It's true.
And now I have been bitter, and I thought I don't have a choice in this.
Right.
It's overwhelmed me, but you know, Bitterness is, as one man put it, it's like swallowing poison to kill your enemy.
Right.
You know, and that's not, you know, that's really what bitterness is. It,
right.
You know, it destroys the vessel it's carried in. And so to be free, then we've got to let it go.
Yes, sir.
And it comes with forgiveness.
Yes.
And add, instead of bitterness toward an individual, or life. Some people are bitter at no one in particular.
Yeah.
Just life. It's just the rotten, dirty, low-down life. But, you know, really, God helps us count our blessings and let the sun shine on us again. And we can make a choice. I'm not, from this day forward, I'm going to start the rest of my life with this day.
Yes.
And it does not include bitterness.
It includes
prayer and love and the peace of God. And God give you the grace.
Yes.
To overcome.
That's great advice. And if that sounds like you today, open up the shades of your house.
Yeah.
Let the light in. Open up the shades of your heart and let God's light and His love shine in. And like Brother Webb said, tell bitterness goodbye. And from this day forward, you'll live a different life.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Yes.
We talked a little bit last week about your travels, Brother Webb. Have you ever tried? I know it's impossible to get an exact number, but have you ever tried to think of the miles that you've traveled and preaching? And
hard to. And I haven't really. I've always been too busy getting the next little sermon for somebody. One of these days I might. But it's been, I've been preaching for, 45, 6 years.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I still feel as, and I'm not getting it done for some reason.
Yeah.
There's another soul to reach. Somebody's in trouble. Somebody needs the gospel.
Yeah.
And there'll be an end to it one day, but
yeah,
but it's not now.
Yeah.
Jesus said, say not 4 months yet to harvest, but it's the fields are white now.
Yes.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
And so a lot to do, a lot of hurting people. And we but God got the answer for it. And I'm glad I found it, and I like to share it so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they're definitely, like you said, the field's white with heart. There is an urgency of the time. I mean,
sure.
we time is surely winding up, and we need to reach people while we can and get God's word out there, and just with every moment that we have. And,
yes.
You know, we talked a while ago not wanting to give the devil airtime. The devil's got plenty of airtime already.
Oh, yes, he does.
With between the television and even podcasts, a lot of the podcasts you listen to, I've seen some that seem to have great titles, and you click on them, and they're so full of filth that you can't even listen to
them.
That's
right.
And, and that reaches the ears of our young people. It reaches the ears of our parents in churches. They can be playing a game on their phone and a vulgar ad pop up.
Sure.
The devil's trying to sneak his way into harmless things. So the devil gets all the airtime he needs, way more than he needs. So that's why we enjoy getting to try to talk a little bit about the Lord on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
and try to help somebody out. Brother Webb, do you have any challenges or charges for the young people of today before we close out this episode? Is there anything more that you would like to say to the young people? If all the young people out there are listening, do you have a message you would like to tell them?
Yes, I would. I'd like for the young folks to understand who they belong to.
Yes.
And, look in the mirror. That image, that ain't Satan's image.
Right.
That's the image of God.
Yes.
And we were created for that purpose. I know the big lie, the big evolution lie out there, but you're not a barbarian. You're not an animal. Yeah, you are created by God to serve Him.
Yes.
To know Him, to be have an audience with Him.
Yes.
And no need of living below your privilege, man. Just start young. Remember the Creator when you're young, before you get old and broke down and can't get up the steps to the office. You know, go for it now.
Yes,
and
sir.
And the Lord said, suffer the young, forbid them not, allow them to come to me.
Yes.
I'll touch them, I'll bless them, I'll take them. And boy, I tell you, I just like to get a young army. I don't care if they're chewing bubble gum, man. Let's stand up for Jesus and get a burden for this world that is so pitiful, and make a difference.
Amen. Well, you heard it there, children. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And what I always thought was awesome, Brother Webb, is we can look at the Grand Canyon, we can look at the mountains, mm-hmm. all of those things that we consider so majestic. We will travel 30 hours plus to get to the Grand Canyon to look at it and admire its beauty. And as beautiful as it is, God considers us His masterpieces.
Oh yeah, I agree.
And that has always gripped at me.
Yeah. Yes.
And so you are a masterpiece of the hand of God. You are a symbol of His work. And so don't let the devil lie to you about
it.
And,
that's right.
Ooh. But all righty, we will wrap this up. And it has surely been an honor and a privilege to have Brother Randy Webb, my pastor, my friend, here with us tonight. These last 2 weeks, it has been a long time coming. I'm so excited we was finally able to do it. I know he's been a blessing to you. And until next week, folks, let's keep on keeping on, making it count. God bless you. When I win this war.